KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have partly cloudy to cloudy skies. Still 48 degrees. We look forward to be partly cloudy today with a high around 58. Good morning. I'm Rick Henson with KJAN News, brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle. Call 641-745-5253. Well, a stretch of Interstate 680 in western Iowa will be renamed Interstate 880 to end confusion that officials say often occurs during flooding. There are two stretches of I-680, a three-mile portion that runs east to Interstate 29 from the Mormon Bridge connecting Iowa to Nebraska on the north end of Omaha. That low-lying portion has been closed by Missouri River flooding several times this year and before. The other stretch of I-680 is 10 miles further north. It runs east for 16 miles to connect with Interstate 80. It'll be renamed Interstate 880. Iowa Transportation Department spokesman Scott Sewer says the confusion arises when people read or hear that I-680 has been closed by flooding. They assume both sections are closed when actually only the low-lying three-mile stretch is affected. Roadway signage will be changing in the coming weeks, as will changes to online navigation and mapping systems. Well, the governor's budget director is urging caution as state tax revenue growth is expected to be much lower this budget year than in the previous one. Iowa Department of Management Director Dave Roeder says he doesn't think the recession is near, but he has concerns.
While everything looks pretty good, there are still some warning signs out there.
Roeder cites the combination of recent tax law changes at the state and federal level, lower than expected wage growth, and unfinished trade agreements. He and two other members of the panel that sets the official estimate of future state tax revenue met Monday. David Underwood, a businessman from Clear Lake, says unfinished trade deals are a big concern in Iowa's economy.
I'm just disappointed that we, at this point, have so much uncertainty still hanging over us, which makes it difficult for me to see the rosy side of it. And I guess looking at the numbers that we've got before us today, I think we have to continue to be a little bit cautious.
The State Revenue Estimating Conference predicts the state tax collections will grow just 1.4% this year. The group will meet again in December to set the estimate for next year's state tax collections. That'll be used by lawmakers to draft next year's state budget. Members of the Iowa agriculture sector are finding hope in the tentative trade deal announced between the U.S. and China. President Trump says China has agreed to buy between $40 and $50 billion in U.S. agriculture products if the deal goes through. ISU economics professor Wendong Zhang says that's significantly more than any single year of U.S. exports to the Asian giant, but it's not clear whether the new number reflects an annual promise.
The Chinese probably left more wiggle room. There's a really big number, but there's no time frame tied to it.
Zhang says tariffs that could have been imposed this week will not go into effect, and that's led to some relief. But now farmers and others will wait to see whether the threat of December tariffs is also lifted. Zhang welcomes what he calls important first steps as the two sides each angle to come out ahead.
The trade war has been elevated so much. I think in the end that the both country needs to find a way that in some respects that both leaders need to go back and say we won the trade war somehow.
Zhang says a shallow agreement on big issues like technology transfer and intellectual property protections is likely, but significant increases in Chinese imports of U.S. corn, ethanol, and beef could also be a part of the deal. Republican Congressman Steve King is suggesting his run for a 10th term in the U.S. House is in better shape than Republican Senator Joni Ernst's bid for a second term in the U.S. Senate.
I'm not the one that's vulnerable here any longer. Joni Ernst is the one we need to stand behind and get behind. And that's why we have to unify this party. And the sooner we do it, the stronger we're going to be.
Ernst has not endorsed King's reelection bid, but she has not endorsed any of his four challengers either. King made his comments about Ernst at the Hamilton County GOP fundraiser in Webster City Saturday night. The four Republicans who have launched campaigns to challenge King in next year's June primary also addressed the crowd. Jeremy Taylor, a National Guard chaplain who is a Woodbury County supervisor, told the crowd he's running because King and other Republicans didn't accomplish much in 2017 and 2018 when they held both houses of Congress and the White House.
They didn't stand for life. They didn't secure the border when they had the chance. And they could not cut $1 billion on over $4 trillion in spending.
State Senator Randy Feenstra of Hall, a professor at Dort College, touted recent endorsements from former Governor Terry Branstad and Branstad's son, Eric Branstad, who managed President Trump's Iowa campaign for the 2016 general election.
First of all, I stand with President Trump. We must build a wall. We must get immigration under control. Number two, we have out-of-control spending. We balance the budget every year in the Iowa legislature, and we must do the same in Congress.
Former Irwin Mayor Brett Richards and Steve Reeder, an Arnold's Park real estate developer, the other two announced GOP candidates in Iowa's 4th Congressional District, also spoke during the event. The Cass County Democratic Party is sponsoring a winter clothing drive to help secure warm clothes, winter night clothes, and blankets for those residents. County Chair Sherry Telly asked that people bring in new or clean, gently used items to drop boxes across the county from mid-October through November 15th. Donations will be distributed through the clothes closets and schools throughout the county. Children's clothing, coats, hats, gloves and mittens, boots, even socks and underwear are especially needed, as are larger-sized adult clothing. The drop-off sites include in Anita, the Rolling Hills Bank, Library, and Rusty Razor. In Atlantic, the YMCA, Rolling Hills Bank, and a private home at 10 East 13th Street. In Cumberland, the telephone company, City Hall, Library, and Houghton State Bank. Drop-off in Griswold is at the Rolling Hills Bank, the telephone company, Library, and Houghton State Bank. In Lewis, at the Library, and in Messina, at the Economy Food Mart and FN Bank. Well, Clarinda Police Chief Keith Brothers said yesterday that at around 10 p.m. Sunday, his officers executed a search warrant at 718 East Washington Street in Clarinda. Taken into custody was 27-year-old Devin Ray Wallace of Clarinda and 34-year-old Brandy Anime Strange of New Market. Wallace is charged with felony delivery of over 5 grams of methamphetamine, felony ongoing criminal conduct, felony possession of meth, felony gathering where drugs are unlawfully used, and failure to pay the required drug tax stamp fees. He was being held at the Page County Jail without bond until a court appearance. Strange was charged with felony delivery of meth over 5 grams, failure to pay the drug tax stamp fees, and felony possession of methamphetamine. She was also being held at the Page County Jail without bond until making a court appearance. Page County Sheriff Lyle Palmer reports today a Union County man was arrested last Friday following a traffic stop in the 1700 block of Highway 71, or about 3 miles north of Clarinda. During the traffic stop, 20-year-old Beau Ethan Boswell of Afton was arrested for OWI first offense drugged. Boswell was transported to the Page County Sheriff's Office and held on $1,000 bond. He was also cited for operating a non-registered vehicle and failure to have insurance. The Pottawatomie County Sheriff's Office yesterday reported numerous arrests. Among them, on Monday, 43-year-old Michael Paul Duke of Council Bluffs was arrested for OWI first offense following a traffic stop. He was arrested at around 2:22 a.m. and transported to the Pott County Jail, where bond was set at $1,000. At around 12:25 a.m. Monday, 33-year-old Michael Scott Thomas of Harlan was arrested following a traffic stop in Avoca. He was taken into custody for driving while license was suspended or revoked. Just before midnight on Sunday, 50-year-old Cindy Lou Hammerstein of Council Bluffs was arrested following a traffic stop there. The deputy noticed Hammerstein's vehicle struck a deer. He was also informed by dispatch that Hammerstein was wanted on a valid Mills County warrant. She was taken to the Pott County Jail. And last Friday afternoon, 29-year-old Rebecca Lynn Madsen was transported to the Pott County Sheriff's Office by Audubon County deputies. Madsen was booked into the Pott County Jail on a warrant for violation of probation. You can read about the other arrests in that same story on the news page at KJAN.com. The news was brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle. Call 641-745-5253. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.